Okay, good evening. You're a bit covered by baubles. You might have to move this way a little bit. Good evening, YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family. I hope you are all feeling suitably refreshed, revived, and ready for FPL to start again this time next weekend. But before we start, what a game of football we've witnessed today. What a game of football that was. I mean, Messi was the star. Emi Martinez was unbelievably good on the penalties. I mean, there was a top, I'm not going to say the word, but a lot of S-housery going on there. But I'm here for it. England could have done with a bit of that. Notice that we got the Fair Play Award this World Cup. Says it all about England, I have to tell you. But what can you say about Argentina? Thoroughly, thoroughly deserved. But what a final. Mbappe did not deserve to be on the losing team, right?
Well, I missed it, most of it. Tesco's delivery turned up, didn't it?
Yeah, just as you didn't want it to.
Yeah, I missed all of extra time and all of penalties. So, yeah, I don't really know what happened in those, apart from that Argentina won it. But it was a great game of football. Really enjoyed it.
Well, I can tell you, for 75 to 80 minutes, it was not much of a spectacle, folks, was it? It wasn't much of a spectacle. Argentina were 2-0 up, cruising to victory, and it didn't feel quite like the final that was befitting of such an amazing tournament. I mean, a lot is going to still be said around the tournament itself and the where it was and everything that's surrounding it. Of course, that narrative is going to continue. But on the pitch, it was a brilliant tournament, no doubt about it. There was some fantastic football. Definitely the best World Cup I've seen in my lifetime. I've not seen that many World Cups, but certainly the best World Cup that I've seen in my lifetime. And certainly the best final that I've witnessed as well. Unbelievable. But for 80 minutes, it was looking like a foregone conclusion. But when the penalty was given, and it was a bit soft, I thought, the French penalty, but then the Argentinian penalty was a bit soft as well.
Yeah.
He steps up, does the business. Did not look like he was going to miss Mbappe. You know, big moments, big player step up, and he really stepped up. The second goal, he has no right to get that, guys. Tell me in the comments what you thought of that second Kylian Mbappe goal. He had no right to take that out of the air like that and volley it in the bottom corner against a very good goalkeeper. It just was so good. And then just when you think Messi's won it and you're like, well, the narrative's there, it's all written. Messi's won on the cup. Well done, Messi. Brilliant. He pops up with another penalty and bangs it away again, Mbappe. It was just such a topsy-turvy hour's worth of football from the 80th minute to the final. It was so good. But I have to say, and if there's any French people on, I really apologise, but I was so behind the Messi narrative. I was so, so keen for him to win it because it must have been a real monkey on his back. You know, he won absolutely everything in the game. He's the GOAT, no doubt about it. Well, he is now. Well, that's part of it, isn't it? I mean, that's part of it. Is he the best in the world? Is he the greatest ever? Well, it's undoubted now, isn't it? He's won it all. He's won a World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, even if he hadn't won the World Cup, I don't think there would have been any doubt that he is the best player that there's been in the game for a very,
how much
very,
would he
very
be in FPL?
Time. Oh, 25 million.
He's a permacap, no doubt about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's difficult. I always want France to do all right because of Hughes. So I did feel a bit for him, but yeah.
Christian Romero, though, is coming back a World Cup winner. I mean, fair
whatever happened, we were getting a World Cup winner back at Tottenham Hotspur Way. I was hoping we were going to get two in Kane and Dyer, but hey, you know.
Knew that Brighton's Alexis McAllister, the 4.5 gem in FPL, is actually a baller? I mean, he was unbelievable. Him and Enzo Fernandez in that Argentinian midfield, and the player, obviously Messi's going to get all the plaudits, obviously, but that midfield three of them two and Rodrigo de Paul, there's a player I'd like to see in the Premier League, folks. Rodrigo de Paul, he looks physical, he looks fast, he reads the game well. In the first half in particular, he did the job that I think maybe Bellingham or Henderson did on Mbappe and just sort of covered that side and did it so, so well. Like, he was Rodrigo de Paul, an absolute baller. Really, really good.
It's a shame McAllister doesn't have those sorts of players at Brighton, really, isn't it?
Oh, ouch, already. There's a dig at the Brighton fans there already. But
it's Brighton on.
They haven't got Enzo Fernandez.
They're not Argentina, are they? They don't have, no. You know, like, but that's part of the problem. It's always been part of Brighton's problem going forward, isn't it? It's always been their issues. Defensively, they've always been solid. Going forward, they've always had problems. But, you know, it does go to prove that they have got some talent there. It's just a shame that there's not a Messi in there with him.
So, so good. So, so good. So folks, this break, let me know in the comments. Let me know in the live chat. We're going to say hello to a few people in a second. Let me know how your break has been. We have actually, we've gone about it quite differently, haven't we? You've been quite tinkering since the beginning, even when FPL kind of went into lockdown and it was right, the prices are all locked. You know, you've been kind of making drafts and still creating a lot of content, etc., etc. Whereas I've just, up until when England went out, I really didn't touch it at all, to be honest with you. And I've got back into it now in the last sort of week to 10 days. But I had a proper break from it.
Weirdo.
Yeah, I know, right? I've missed it, though. Genuinely, I've missed it. Because in the last week or so, getting back into it has felt quite good. I feel I've got a few drafts now, my camera roll. And, you know, there's a few... I've got a bit of a feel for who I'm going to pick. I can't help but feel like there might be... There is plenty of options, but I wonder if there might be a little bit of a template. But we're going to discuss that a bit later on. I've put a team together. You've put a team together. We'll talk about them later in terms of what our bus teams look like for game week 17. Love to know from you guys what your bus team looks like. Who are the players locked in? I think, you know, there's one or at least three or four in my team that they ain't going anywhere. I'm absolutely having them. But I've also put a screen capture of the FPL website so we can do a team dynamically. Between us, I've got my squad as it is with the likes of Bowen and that sort of guff in there. So I'll be getting rid of a few players. We'll look at it and we'll go, right, he's definitely out, he's definitely out, he's definitely in, he's definitely in. We'll have a look at that. But let's say hello to a few people first. Sam, let's get into the chat. And the midfield master, Jack Colback, Si Badette is here. How are we doing, Si?
Hope you're feeling well, Si.
Hope you're feeling better, mate. Hope you're feeling well. I'm 1974, so there's still Maradona. Maradona is still the GOAT by a mile, he says. By a mile. I tell you what, it's not. I don't think it's a mile. I am 1974. It is a lot closer than your comment suggests, I would say. Jeremy Baker, he's saying if Messi was in FPL, we'd have Messi, Haaland and just a team of 4.5 and 4s.
McAllisters.
Just a load, yeah. We all dream of a team of McAllisters. Duncan Crawford is in. Hey, Duncan. Nice to see you. Liam Healy, all the patrons are in. How are we doing, Liam? Nice to see you, mate. Finn McCann, haven't touched my team at all, Finn says, which is definitely a strategy. I mean, I didn't at all until England went out and then I kind of lost a little bit of... little bit on the World Cup, sort of had a couple of days. I was like, I'm a bit down on this World Cup now, so I'm going to go back into FPL. And then actually semi-finals and final. I did not think we were going to get a better game than that semi-final between Argentina and the Dutch. Was that semis or quarters? That was semis, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a ridiculous game.
Unbelievable game. And then you get today's game, which was just out of this world.
That was the quarters, wasn't it? Because that was just the night before England went out.
Was that quarters?
Yeah, the semis were Morocco.
Yes, I think it was. Yeah, it was the quarters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Some crazy games in the World Cup. When you consider, actually, that Argentina lost their first group game against Saudi Arabia, didn't they? Remember that? Mm-hmm. They looked dreadful. We're all thinking, well, that's the shock. They're out. They go on to win the bloody thing. FPL Matty Winnerlot is in. He says, hi guys. He's 1K in the FIFA World Cup. So
very nice.
World Cup fantasy? I haven't played it. You played it for a bit.
I didn't play it.
You didn't play it?
No.
Let us know how you found World Cup fantasy. It wasn't great from what I could see from an outside looking in.
It was too much nonsense for me going on. Set your rules and have the rules as the rules. Don't keep changing them.
They didn't do
and
a great
all
job.
All the players in the game for the game to start. I wasn't interested. As soon as there was all changes around a couple of days before it started, I was like, no, I'm not interested.
Especially for, you know, the content creators, like the FPL content creator, the fantasy sports content creators.
So used to it being good with FPL. Everything's organised and sorted and people are in the game, they come in the game, they get given a price. The rules don't change midway through a game week or...
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. There we go. Next time you want to have a whinge about FPL, folks, just remember, it could be worse. It could be World Cup fantasy where the points change on a regular basis. Simon is in with a comment. Hey, Simon, he says, hello, Bonfields. Hello, mate. Lovely to be back and to see you both again. I'm good. My operation is on the 28th of December. Looking forward to FPL coming back. So, mate, hope that goes well for you. Have a happy Christmas, you and the family.
Timed that well between the two game weeks.
Yes, he has. He has, absolutely. Is there a league? There's something in my head says there's League Cup going on, isn't there, on Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah.
It's been a calm down, isn't it?
I don't care. I'm not in it.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. I can't. I'm really not asked about League Cup now on a Tuesday.
You're in it. You've got to play Man City.
I'm not. I'm struggling to get excited. FPL, Premier League, yes. League Cup. After what we've seen today, I'm going to struggle to get up for that. FPL Harry is in.
Just said you missed Haaland. Now you're going to get to see him against your old team.
True enough. We're going to get Salah and Haaland back in the conversation, which is a good thing. Harry says, simply the worst game of fantasy football he's ever played. Scathing on World Cup fantasy.
Because the Women's Euros game was good. I enjoyed that.
This
was terrible. So.
Jefferson Van Dyke is in saying, it's all over the place. Still finished 1.3K, so Jefferson's happy.
Yeah, I couldn't be bothered.
He's happy. Nathan Price is in, cannot wait for game week 17. Graham Shaw is in. Hi from Miami. Hi, Graham from Miami. It's a very nice place to be. A lot warmer, I suggest, than how we've had it in the last few weeks here in the UK. It has been...
It's a bit warmer now outside.
It's a little bit warmer now, but this is the warmest it's been for about a week and a half.
It has been 4 degrees.
Freezing here in the UK, guys. Absolutely freezing. Daniel Banks is in. Argentina, Holland was the quarters. Oh, you're right, Dan. Yes, it was quarterfinals, not semis. It feels like it was just the other day, though.
It was the day before England. We were at the TalkSport bar for
We went into London to the TalkSport bar with a few of the FPL scout people. It was an epic atmosphere. Really good. Nick Hill Doobie is in. Surely you can't talk about FPL after that crazy game. Well, we are here, Nick Hill, as FPL family, to talk
about FPL.
No doubt about it. We did have to. You have to give a mention to that. I mean, what have we just witnessed? I mean, it's going to be one of the games that will live long in the memory. No doubt about that. The iconic picture of Messi kissing the trophy as he went past, holding his player of the tour. I mean, just iconic stuff, guys. Iconic. But nevertheless, Nikhil, we are here to talk about FPL. So, how do you want to do this, Sam? I've got the fixtures. I've got a dynamic webpage where we can move players in and out. Why don't we start with the fixtures? We just have a quick look at the sort of teams that we might be looking at. So, I've got the fixtures on a webpage, but I have also got... Oh, I didn't think about my decorations here, did I? I put some more decorations in.
What's going on with these decorations?
Do you like it? Do you like it a bit Christmassy? Or you're not feeling it, are you?
I don't really understand...
I just thought I'd be a bit Christmassy. It's a Christmas stream. Only 6 days of Christmas. Quite exciting.
Okay.
You're not feeling the Christmas vibe at all.
I can sit comfortably now, though. I don't have to lean anymore.
Yeah, at least you can. Yeah, you
at least
can sit comfortably.
I can sit comfortably now. I don't mind it, but yeah, it's in the way of graphic.
All right. Okay. So here we go. These are sorted by difficulty according to the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker.
So that looks like it's up to game week 22. So you've not included the other double.
No, I haven't. So I've done the next, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, sort of 5 or 6 game weeks. And that is important. We should mention that, right? So unless you've been living under a rock, guys, or for those of you that are getting back into FPL, because of course, the game has launched this new second chance thing, right? So if people were a bit kind of...
Second chance league.
Yeah, so if your overall rank... Is this really relevant for us, sort of, FPL hardcore? I don't know if it is. I mean, if you're a bit of a casual player and you had a bit of a bad rank and you want to come back into it, unlimited transfers, start again, I can understand why it'd be a good thing. But are we talking about this second chart? What do you think of it?
I mean, I want to win it, so.
All right, okay, good.
In any league that's up for being won, I'm up for. No, I like it. You know, this prize is up for grabs. I think, you know, it's hard, isn't it? Because I think there'll be a lot of people that, you know, didn't necessarily have the best start to the season, myself included, who will kind of look at it and go, well, this is an opportunity to kind of start again, a bit like with our Patreon competitions that we have every month.
Yeah,
it's an opportunity
so.
To kind of, if it's all going badly in the main league, we've still got something to fight for. I kind of like it. I think, you know, it doesn't take away from the fact that overall rank's still going to exist. We're still going to be mostly talking about that from a content perspective.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it will be useful at the end of the season to look back and go, well, my overall rank was wherever it was, but in the second chance league, so this second half of the season, I did significantly better or significantly worse. Like, I think it will be a useful talking point to kind of check in and see where you're going, how you're going.
Okay. All right. So second chance league, guys, let us know what you think. Yeah, if you've missed it, the game have launched. Yeah,
you're automatically in it.
You're automatically in it, whether you want it or not, it's there. Points get reset to zero, and effectively you play like a mini season.
It's game week 17 to 38.
Yeah, and it's like if you want to talk about it, go for it. I don't think it's going to be too much that I'm too focused on, I'll be honest, but let us know what you think in the comments below. So these are the fixtures, Sam, from game week 17, as you rightly say, to 22. Another thing that was announced alongside the Second Chance League was our first double game weeks of the season. So we do have some double game weeks. They look tricky, though, from what I can see. They look tricky. So City are coming in with a double game week in game week 20, which immediately, I think, raises the triple captain flag potentially for Haaland. Because as soon as you get a double game week for City, you're like, well, that's probably where I'm going to play my triple captain. However, with games against Man United and Spurs, you would hope for easier fixtures than that for your triple captain, although their double game week, I think, is it a potential double game week on the horizon after that? Or is it locked?
Well, this one's not locked.
This one's not locked. Okay.
So if they don't beat Chelsea, if they require a replay against Chelsea in the FA Cup, or Spurs require a replay against Portsmouth in the FA Cup, that double game week will be cancelled because that's the midweek of the FA Cup replays.
Right.
So it will only happen if both sides progress in the FA Cup or get knocked out. But okay. There can't be a replay needed. There is a further double game week for Man City in game week 23. It's against Arsenal and Aston Villa. So that okay. one maybe is slightly more appealing for the triple captain armband, only because of the Aston Villa game. The only thing I would say is that, you know, if you get an easy double game week for Manchester City, there's a chance that the likes of Haaland don't play in both games. Whereas with games against Man United possibly. And Spurs, you would yeah, expect possibly. Him to play in both games. The other thing I would say is that if they beat Liverpool in the League Cup this week, and they then need a replay against Chelsea, or don't, doesn't really matter for the purpose of this. They could have 9 games in January if they stay in the League Cup and they stay in the FA Cup. So that would require them to play midweek and weekend every single week throughout January.
That sets the roulette sirens off a little bit, doesn't it?
And if they continue to stay in the League Cup and the FA Cup and stay in the Champions League, they will play midweek, weekend, every single week until March.
Mm.
So you have to consider this when you're building your teams, because on paper you go, Man City, 2 double game weeks within 3 weeks. Lovely. Invest heavily.
Haaland, Cancelo, and lock in a De Bruyne or a Foden, yeah.
But actually, the reality is, how many minutes are these players going to have managed over the course of January and February? Because, of course, Pep is going to want to win the Champions League. He's going to need to start properly winning stuff in the Premier League, because they're not winning the league right now, remember. Arsenal are ahead of them. And then, of course, you've got the League Cup and the FA Cup to contend with if they stay in those competitions. So with the squad that Man City have, and with how well Alvarez proved himself in the World Cup.
Very good. Yeah, very good.
You know, we could see some changing around in that Man City lineup. Now, I'm not saying...
He surely doesn't replace Haaland, though, does he? No, he gets more of a spot on that right-hand side, maybe.
Yes, but I also think that there are players now that Pep has at his disposal where he can move... reduce minutes. I don't think that these players get no minutes in games. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, when you're planning for your team in game week 17, you need to be looking at this kind of potential that you might get some Man City headaches. Because if you have 3 Man City players and they all get benched in 1 week, then that's your whole bench needed to come on and get you out of jail, for want of a better phrase. So I think we just need to be aware of it. It could be a massive period of fixture congestion for Man City in January. Of course, if they go out of the League Cup to Liverpool in midweek, then that's one less.
All bets are off.
Well, that's one less thing to worry about, isn't it?
Do you think that's generally going to be a thing for us as FPL managers over this kind of initial period from 17 to 20, whatever? This kind of fixture congestion going on, because we've got the FA Cup coming up in January. Obviously, League Cup starting as early as Boxing Day. Fixtures coming in left, right, and centre, because of course now we're back on and the Premier League's not stopping. It's like bang, right, here we go again. You've just, you know, in Argentina's case, you know, Romero's coming back from winning the World Cup, bang, straight into Spurs or whatever.
Yeah.
So how important is it going to be? I mean, I did a draft a couple of days ago, where I had a 4.2, I think, non-playing strike. I think I had a Greenwood or I had an Archer or somebody in there. And it enabled this kind of more... the reason for doing that was because I wanted to go for a threemium. I had 3 premium players, and I think it's Haaland, Salah, and maybe Kane I put in there, or maybe it's De Bruyne. Either way, I had 3 big players. But I just had this niggling feeling that my 4.2 bench fodder, and by the way, that team also had Nico Williams in it. It had Pereira, who I think is a nice pick, actually, by the way, Pereira.
Double game week coming
up. Exactly. We'll talk about Fulham in a second. But I just had this niggling feeling that I just might need my bench, and I didn't want to have a 4.2 striker in there. What's your feeling? Squad, or are you happy to have a couple of bench fodders in there?
I'm all about the full 15.
You need the 15, okay.
I think, you know, January is... And it's not just Man City. You know, you look at all of the big clubs that you would want to invest in. The likes of Arsenal, Chelsea with their double game week coming up, Manchester United with the fixtures that they have at the beginning of this run, Liverpool, Spurs, all of those clubs, massive potential for fixture congestion if they stay in the competitions.
Yeah,
now,
definitely.
Obviously, we're going to get insight into the League Cup ahead of the game week 17 deadline, so that's useful. But 2 rounds of the FA Cup in January, potential for 2 rounds worth of replays as well. This is the period of time where I think you're going to need a squad. You're going to need to be able to have players on your bench that come on, because you might just get rest. You know, you just mentioned Romero. He's not coming back to Spurs ahead of game week 17 and playing, is he?
No,
let's be honest.
No, he's not going to play in Brentford.
He's going to go off to Argentina.
Not Hugo Lloris, by the way, probably.
I think the slight difference is that Romero is going to go to Argentina and do some sort of bus parade around the streets. He's going to go off and do some sort of celebration, and then he's going to come back. Hugo's probably going to go have a break for a few days, and then he's going to come back to Spurs. Now, that's problematic for us, because it's going to be Fraser Forster, I guess. guest that's going to come in for us. He's not really played much for us yet.
Yeah.
It
leaves you with a bit of a hole, doesn't it? If Lloris does need a bit of time to not just physically recover, but mentally recover from that final, and you're going to need that, right?
Yeah.
And you've not got Romero. Does that leave Spurs a little bit short going? I think you're home to Brentford, aren't you?
No, we're away to Brentford.
Is it Brentford away? Blimey, okay. And it's the lunchtime kickoff, from what I know, on Boxing Day, isn't it?
Which is
notoriously, because you mention it every time and you bang on, is that Spurs play badly at lunchtime.
Yeah, we do.
A bit worried about Spurs in that game, or should I not be? No Richarlison either. Does that affect the dynamic up top?
No, I think the dynamic up top will be okay. I mean, Son's been back in training for 5 days now, 4 days now, something like that. So I think his face is all right. Yeah, right. I mean, he's been running around sometimes without a mask, sometimes dressed as Batman. It depends, I think, what mood he's in. Kulusevski's looking great, actually. He's come back into...
Yes, we need to talk about him later.
He's looking great at the moment. So,
and the reason for talking about Spurs, by the way, not least because they're always in our thoughts from an FPL perspective, but also with a double game week in 20, right? Although it is Arsenal and Man City, so it's a London derby followed by a trip to the Etihad. By no means easy, the
both
top
games
two,
won
right?
Last season.
Absolutely, yeah, and games where anything can happen, right? Spurs at home to Arsenal, anything can happen in that game. So, on paper, that's a very, very difficult, obviously, with the top two looking double game week, but you'd probably want some Spurs coverage for that, I'd suggest, particularly with fixtures like Brentford, Villa, and Crystal Palace before it, and then Fulham after in game week 21.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at all of these things have to be playing a part in your mind. And that's why I think for me a squad is so important, because if you've got players, you know, Perisic, right? He played yesterday for Croatia.
I forgot about him.
So
yeah, absolutely.
He's
yeah.
another one
yeah,
yeah. that, you know, you
he
might.
A good tournament as well, didn't he, Perisic?
He did have a good tournament. So he's another one that you might potentially have looked at and gone, oh, well, there's an option. Not really an option right now because, you know, the England boys. Don't think I've seen them back at training yet, like Kane and Dyer. I don't think they're back yet. I think they're probably due back tomorrow. I think they've been giving them a full week, pretty much off. So they might have been back today, to be fair. But it depends when they landed back in the country and all
Harry
that
will
kind
play,
of stuff.
Though. That's just,
Harry's got no choice because Richarlison's out. So Harry's got absolutely no choice. He's going to have to play and he'll be fine, I think. He's a professional, right? He'll be fine. But I think all of these things you have to kind of take into consideration, don't you? And consider... How many risks do you want to take? Because you do want to go... I mean, I think with the fixtures the way they are for the likes of Liverpool, Manchester City, Spurs, Arsenal, you do... Arsenal fixtures are a bit more tough, actually, but you do want to invest... Chelsea, I'll put them in that bracket as well. You want to invest heavily in these teams, but these are also teams that have potential for the most rotation and risk of rotation because of their involvement in the World Cup, but also their involvement in other competitions in domestically at the moment, as well as the Champions League, Europa League, et cetera, kicking off again in March. So
talk to me about Chelsea then. Top of the fixture ticker, got the double game week in 19, albeit City is one of those fixtures. It's City at home at Stamford Bridge and then a London derby away at Fulham, which, by the way, that's not easy.
No.
A London derby at Fulham. But with Bournemouth at home in 17, Forest in 18, you've got Palace in 20... All right, it's Liverpool in 21 away. But, you know, those first four fixtures, including a double game week, you're going to want to bet Chelsea on, particularly for that Bournemouth game, I'd suggest. I mean, the player that's been in my draft a couple of times is Reece James.
Mm.
Seen a couple of training videos, looks all right. Let's wait to hear from Graham Potter as to exactly his level of fitness. But looks all right, I think. Looks all right. Difficult to know where to go with Chelsea, though. Is it outside of Reece James?
It's really hard.
And Kepa, maybe.
Well, I think Kepa's the obvious one, rotating nicely with Ward at this period. You can kind of use them to your advantage. Reece James, I think, is the natural go-to because Chilwell's not available on the other side. I think there's more of a conversation to be had if Chilwell is available at the same time. I think Chilwell's a little bit behind Reece James. But the bigger issue for Chelsea is that I would rather invest in an attacker for the fixtures that they have, but... I don't know
where'd you go.
I don't know where you would go because, you know, I actually thought Pulisic played quite well for America during the World Cup. I thought he had quite a decent tournament, but I don't think I want to invest there. Certainly not going with like sort of Aubameyang up top with all the other options that you have. There's no standout for me at Chelsea. Even Mason Mount, I think he's the kind of the obvious pick. I don't even think he is that obvious, but he's the one that you naturally go to, I think, at Chelsea, because you go, well, it's Mason Mount, it's going to start.
But when we look at some of the options that we've got in midfield, I don't know if you're going to go to Mount. And when we'll look at, we'll try and put a team together in a minute. But
I think the price tag that
I've been looking at Mount.
You wouldn't know exactly because the price tag is you can have so many other players. You know, you can go cheaper. You can have Almiron. You can go for Kulusevski at the same sort of price point. I don't love the Chelsea picks right now. And
Harry is saying that Chilwell should be back in training. Should we be having a look at Chilwell? Good shout, Harry.
He's back training on his own, from what I heard. He's been doing warm weather, hasn't he, in Dubai. I heard, but I might be wrong, he's a couple of weeks behind Reece James. And if that's the case and Reece James is available for 17, then maybe we see Chilwell for 19 for the double. The question is that if I think at their price point, because they're exactly the same now, 5.8, if you're going to invest in one of them, you'd probably go James now rather than have to spend a transfer in a couple of weeks' time on it.
I think
that's
right.
How I feel about it. If they were both going to be available at the same time, I think there's more of a conversation to be had then about the two of them.
Yeah, all right. The other team, just briefly to discuss before we start putting this team together, is Fulham. I mean, I've locked in Andreas Pereira in my midfield. I don't see him moving just because of the value that he gives. Mitrovic, then, reasonable tournament, has come home a little bit earlier than maybe he would have liked or Serbia would have liked, but probably home quicker than we wanted him home quick, didn't we, as FPL managers, as did Fulham, I suspect. Seems to have shrugged off that injury that he seemed to be carrying going into sort of game week 15, 16.
Mm-hmm.
He looks pretty good to me to be locked into my team. Now, we'll talk about teams later on, but you, I think, are going a little bit heavier up top and maybe not having some space for Mitrovic. But do you still concede that he's a reasonable pick?
Yeah.
He's a good pick, right?
He's a good pick.
Yeah.
He's the problem in my team right now. I want four forwards because Mitrovic is the one that I know he'll be a good captaincy option in game week 19. You know, the matches for them are Leicester and Chelsea. Both of those teams can see goals. Both of those teams he has the opportunity to score against. He will be heavily owned. He's the risk at the moment.
He's a risk because you haven't got him.
Because I haven't got him. Yeah. He's the one that I'm kind of like looking at my team thinking, well, I could maybe hokey-cokey out one of my forwards in game week 19 to have him for the double game week and then bring back the other forward that I choose to have instead. Like that, all of these things are kind of playing a part in my thinking right now. But yeah, Mitrovic is a bit of a scary not own because it's not just that they've got a double game week, they've got actually nice fixtures around that double game week as well where you could see Mitrovic getting goals.
Yeah, and Gabriel Jesus, I just noticed a comment in the chat about is Jesus injured from window reviews. Is Gabriel Jesus injured? Yes, he is.
Had surgery, hasn't he?
He's had some surgery, so it looks like it's probably a number of weeks rather than days.
Yeah.
A
couple of months, I think.
Been absolutely crucial for Arsenal, hasn't he, this first half of the season. So how do you think that's going to affect their attacking dynamic? Because it's bound to, right?
Well, I asked Jules this on the pod this week because, you know, in itself, Jesus has been a fantastic signing for Arsenal, particularly at the beginning few weeks of the season. He started so well, and yes, okay, he seemed to tail off a little bit towards the end of, you know, the last few game weeks of this first half of the season, not quite getting the goals that we had come accustomed to seeing from him. However, he is so important in the same way that kind of Kane is for Spurs almost. He's so important to the way that Arsenal play, the freedom and the space that he provides for other people. His reading of the game is so vital, but also Arsenal is a young team. You know, built lots of fantastically talented youngsters, but he provides that
bit of a leader in there, isn't he?
Yeah, he also provides that kind of mentality of a winner. He knows he's won the Premier League. He knows how to win the Premier League. He's done it with City multiple times. And he brings that kind of character that maybe Arsenal fans lacked a little bit at the back end of last season when they didn't quite make the Champions League. I think he comes in and he brings this kind of experience to the team. And his kind of character and his commitment and the drive and the way that he's changed the way that Arsenal are, I think will be a massive, massive miss. Now, that doesn't mean that I think Arsenal are going to drop off a cliff because they've still got really talented players. I just wonder what the impact of Jesus not being there.
Who plays there then? Who does Arteta put? Because you've got to think that Arteta's not going to change the system, I don't think. So who does he play in Jesus' position? Is it Nketiah come in?
So I asked another question, Jules. I said, will it be Nketiah? And he said, might be sometimes, but he thinks it's more likely to be Martinelli that he puts up top. Now, because you were talking earlier about going for a cheaper forward. Well, you have got Nketiah as an option, I think, for the next couple of months. But I don't think he's going to play every single week. I think there will be games where Martinelli goes up top. Maybe Nketiah comes on and gets minutes in every game when he's changing the system and the way things are. Because, you know, Arsenal top of the league right now. They need to keep the winning way if they want to stay there, because they're going to be closely chased now by Manchester City, who have got nicer fixtures over the next few weeks, as well as other teams like Newcastle, who are in the hunt for as finishing as high up the league as possible. So for me, the way that you invest in Arsenal right now is that you continue to, because they look good.
But yeah.
You do have to do it without Jesus. That, for me, does free up that forward spot, which is kind of nice, because you can then go in with, if you want to, two Arsenal midfielders, two Arsenal defenders. I think given their double game week isn't till 23, my plan probably is to go with just two Arsenal players now, knowing then that as I watch them without Jesus between game week 17 and 22, I can work out, do I want a treble attack or treble defence?
Yeah.
The
thing with them is, though, if you look at these fixtures, you'd say, OK, West Ham at home, that looks a nice fixture. So, OK, well, we'll have a look at them all then and we'll see what the system looks like. We'll see what not having Jesus there does to the likes of Martinelli and Erdard and all those guys. But after that, from 18 onwards, it gets difficult, right? Away to Brighton, home to Newcastle, the North London Derby, and then Man United. I mean, the next four up, that's difficult.
But these are games they have to win if they're going to be champions.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I agree with you. But if you you look at that West Ham game, you say, OK, well, Eddie's come in. He does really well. Say he gets an assist or a goal, gets some FPL points. You think, right, bang, I'll get him in. The next four after that are very difficult. Really difficult. I must admit, I'm not as bullish on Arsenal as perhaps you are and as perhaps the fixture ticker suggests. We'll come to our drafts in a minute, but I've gone down to one. I've gone just down to Martinelli, but I might even take a risk and not have any at all. Because I genuinely think that not having Gabriel Jesus is a big, big miss for them. He does all the dirty work.
See, I think they still score goals in all those games. I think they'll score against Spurs. I think they'll score against Man United. I think they'll score against Newcastle. Newcastle haven't been keeping that many clean sheets. Not really, when you look at it. You know, they bring Kieran Trippier off, you lose your double clean sheet with Pope. I think Arsenal will score in every game that they play over the next few weeks, which is why I want to keep an attacking player.
Yeah.
Likewise, I agree on keeping Martinelli, mostly because he's cheaper, but also because I think he's more likely to play in that upfront position.
Yeah. All right, well, those are the fixtures, guys. We've got double game weeks coming up for Chelsea, for City. What else we've got? Fulham have got one, Spurs have got one. And then, as you rightly say, Sam, there are more on the horizon. So keep an eye on the Scout fixture ticker or on the FDR on the FPL website to see how things evolve. But right now, I think we've discussed largely, with maybe without Southampton, we probably should have discussed as well, but we've largely discussed the teams there that we will be picking from when we're putting this team together. So let's have a look then. Let's have a little play around with this team. This is my team as it stands. Haven't changed too much from game week 16 when the unlimited transfer window opened. The only thing you'll notice is that Danny Ward is now in the team. So he came straight in. But elsewhere, I haven't really touched it. I think Martinez was maybe due a price rise. I think I stuck him in just put him in there in case he got a double price rise. But he didn't. He's kind of locked in now. So I'm happily ship him out. So this is my team as it is. I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to have double Newcastle defence going forward. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have Nick Pope. So let's maybe just take him out. I'm pretty sure Bowen's not going to be there. I'm not entirely sure about Ben White either, to be honest. I think those fixtures, yes, I think they can score, but I also think Brighton have got a goal in them. I think Newcastle got a goal in them. I think North London Derby's got. Yeah, so listen, so I'm not sure about that. There's a few that I'd take out. I'd probably take these two out as well and try and build something there. The midfield is up for debate, to be honest with you. Listen, let's take them all out. Let's take all them out because there's still question marks. So they're in, and Martinez as well, right?
What, Nico Williams?
Yeah, his place is probably under threat as well, to be honest with you, because he's not even guaranteed football, first-choice football, is he? So when I think about
what is this?
Well, I've been a little bit savage here, but when I think about it, those are probably the locks, right? I don't see me not having Ward, Trippier, Cancelo, Andreas and Haaland. I don't see me not having them.
Okay.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, they are all locks for me.
Okay, all right. So let's start with the goalkeeper then. So let's go with the goalkeepers. Let's just change this to keepers. Where do you go? Nick Pope, I mean, I'm saying I'm taking him out. He's currently the highest scoring goalkeeper on 70. Let me just make sure that my my tinsel is getting in the way, so I do need to go down a little bit. There we go. There we go.
Says nobody ever.
Says whatever. There's something I never thought I'd say on an FPL family stream.
My tinsel is getting in the way. We should have worn a Christmas hat today.
Just taken out the FPL top scoring goalkeeper. What am I playing at? But where would you go? Who are you going to go with? Ward and probably Kepa. Are you going to go with Kepa if he's fit?
If fit. Yeah, right. I think if fit, Kepa and Ward make a nice combination. The fixtures rotate quite nicely. Chelsea have that double game week where you can play Kepa in.
Can you make a case for any other goalkeepers?
Not really. It's difficult, isn't it? I find it really hard to, because actually between the two of them, they've been doing well, and they're cheap. Both of them uber cheap, right? So you can get yourself in a position where, you know, and to be honest, even if Kepa is not, the only other combination I can vaguely get on board with is Ward and Iversen. Which is even worse, blimey, yes. But because it saves budget. Because I think
been there, you know, before, haven't we?
Yeah, but the reality is, how many? I think over the next few weeks, how many times do you really, really want to play a premium goalkeeper?
Well, let's have a look at the Leicester. Let's just go back to this and look at the Leicester fixtures. Newcastle got a goal in them. Liverpool, and then it's Fulham, Forest, Brighton. Yeah, maybe. I mean, the form that Leicester showed at the back end of, the back end of last season, before the break, let's say.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure. You'd say, okay, well, Ward is you stick him in perma keeper and you just have Iversen there to save some money. But
the goalkeepers this season aren't racking in the points, right? They're not bringing like double digit hauls week upon week upon week.
No.
Ward is, weirdly, but the rest of them aren't. The premiums, the likes of Edison, the likes of Alisson. I'm not looking at them lovingly thinking I must have a premium in my team. And I think, therefore, if you're not looking premium goalkeeper and you're looking for, therefore, a pair of rotating goalkeepers, these two are the most obvious choice. There's not really anyone else that's kind of
all right,
setting the world on fire, for me anyway. I mean, there's always a case to be made for players like Sanchez. Maybe Southampton. Like you can, maybe the South... There's not a lot of love for any other goalkeepers right now.
I don't know. If you're gonna think about Bazunu at 4.5, you can have Kepa.
Exactly.
I don't know. All right. They seem pretty locked to me. I don't want to spend too much more time on them. Defenders then. So Trippier is going absolutely nowhere. Nor is Cancelo. I'm going to have him as well. Where else, though? What are you going to be looking at? I mean, Castagna is right up there if you want to double up with Ward, but I don't suppose that too many people want to do that.
I do.
The Arsenal defence. Are we going to go there? Saliba, Gabriel, Zinchenko, those sorts of players. Ben White.
I mean, for me, this has two questions, doesn't it? One's a budget question, which is, if you can afford a more expensive Arsenal defender over Ben White, do you do it? And I think I might do it because I'm not sure about clean sheets, and therefore I'm looking for some attacking threats. Saliba, Gabriel, maybe.
Yeah.
But I look at the fixtures and think, you know, if you've got... So Ben White's a contentious one for me, as you'll see in my team later. But because I look at him and I think, you know, Arsenal have been playing really well. They've been playing really well. But as you say, there's some tough games against the likes of Newcastle and Liverpool, who maybe they don't keep clean sheets against. And Ben White won't really necessarily have that going forward attacking threat. So then I'm looking at other players. So
Do you think without Gabriel Jesus, who, let's be honest, is a pressing monster, right? He does all the hard work. He's this real energetic player up there. He doesn't give the opposition much time to transition from defence to midfield, right? And often I've seen teams go long ball against Arsenal and try and cut out the midfield, because you've got Partey and Xhaka in there dominating, you've got Odegaard dominating, you've got Jesus pressing. It's like, oh, Jesus, let's just go for it. Let's just lump it. Or we'll try and play out from the back and it's difficult because we've got everyone pressing in the same together. The way that Arsenal and Arteta's got them drilled doing that, very impressive. So you take that core cog out, you take Jesus out. Do you think that the opposition players will find it therefore easier to transition out of defence into midfield, and therefore might have the foundation for more quality attacks and find themselves in better attacking positions by moving through from defence to midfield to forward, through up and down the pitch? I'm overthinking that a little bit, aren't I? I mean, you've still got Xhaka and Partey there.
I don't think it will make that much difference defensively. I really don't. I think the bigger question is, do you trust the fixtures? Do you trust Arsenal to keep clean sheets during those fixtures? Because if you don't, then I'm not sure that it's worth investing in them. Having said that, if you've had Saliba since game week two, and you've therefore got loads of value tied up in him, I think that there is a very good case for just keeping him on your bench.
So who are we having? Who are you picking? Ben White? You're going to have Ben White, or you're not going to have Arsenal?
Well, so I actually really like Aaron Creswell. And if you listen to the FPL pod this week, I've been banging on about Creswell for ages, because actually I think the West Ham fixtures, to me...
Don't even see him on the first page.
No, because he's not been doing very well and he's been injured. And West Ham have been awful to start the season.
There he is, 37 points, but only 4.8, and...
He's a nice differential.
2.4% owned. Oof.
And he's sort of in the same price point as Ben White. He's cheaper, so therefore he's relatively cheap. Yeah. He's got set piece threat, which I like, which is something that Ben White doesn't have.
Okay,
I think the fixtures look okay for Creswell to get something over the next few weeks, not necessarily against Arsenal.
Well, let's just make 17. Sure that we agree with what you said. So, yes, the West Ham fixture is difficult in 17 for sure, but then after that, Brentford, Leeds, Wolves, Everton. The four after the Arsenal game look all right.
They do. And I think, if you are West Ham, you're going to think, right, I've got a tough London derby in 17, but then those four games that are after that kind of become must win. And I think with a player like Creswell, if they can be secure at the back, if they can tighten up defensively, and if he's got the attacking threat of set pieces, then I think he could be quite a nice differential pick for these next few weeks.
Can they improve West Ham? I mean, West Ham had not a great 1-16, did they?
They're sort of going to have to, aren't they?
Because they do need to up the game a little bit, don't they?
They're not getting anywhere near the European spots if they carry on as they are right now. So there does have to be some improvement there. Mm. I don't know. Look, I think...
I like the look of Paquetá, by the way, for Brazil. I mean, he could come back and add a little bit of flair into that West Ham side.
I just think that, when you're building these unlimited teams, you have to look at the fixtures... But you also have to pick out some differentials. And for me...
Definitely a nice differential.
I quite like Creswell because it's not an expensive differential. You're not going to invest loads of money in him. And if it goes horribly wrong, just move to Ben White.
A lot of managers will be put off by that Arsenal game.
They will be.
They won't have him. And then in 17, you know what's going to... Not 17, in 18. You know where you'll be in 18. You will not want to be bringing in Creswell. Someone will bang in 17 and you'll be thinking about...
Other things to do,
Salah, Haaland, Kane, all the rest of it, right? So having Creswell to come in... Maybe you bench him for the Arsenal game, stick him in for 18, and sort of Brentford at home looks all right, doesn't it? All right, so he's in. We're going to have Creswell. I like the sound of that.
I also like Dallow for the first three.
Now, someone in the chat has just said that Dallow and Creswell rotate pretty nicely in terms of fixtures. So I don't mind that either. Well, I would happily have that.
Manchester United's fixtures for the first three back are really nice. Then they get more tough. But the first three back are really nice for Manchester United. And I think defensively... They look like clean sheets in those games. They do have a tough one coming up against Man City. I think there's Liverpool in there as well. But for these first three, and he's cheap, and you can get rid of him afterwards if you... Again, you can have him for
you
3 weeks.
You can go somewhere with him, can't you? Yeah.
You want to go to Ben White after that because Arsenal are coming out for a double, knock your socks off. If you want to,
knock your socks off.
If you want to get Eric Dier in because Spurs have got a really beautiful-looking double game week against...
I think the phrase is knock yourself out, not knock your socks off. I love it. I'll go with it.
We're going to knock your socks off.
What are we to say about the fifth one? Let's leave it, right? Because I want to get the first...
Not spent much money here, have we, on my two shouts?
We're doing all right. At the moment, it's only Cancelo that's looking really, really expensive. But Creswell and Dallow, cheaper than I thought you were going to say. I do want to give a shout out to Reece James, as I have already. I mean, if you stick Reece James in there, then suddenly you've got a little bit of a benching headache. All right, in 17, you bench Creswell. But
do you want Kepa and Reece James?
Well,
if you're going to play Kepa in the double game week, do you want Reece James as well?
I'm pretty bullish on Reece James. I am.
What, both of
them? It's a bit of a bonus if Chelsea keep a clean sheet, right?
Well, you might be able to afford Reece James in that fifth spot, depending upon what you do with the rest.
Well, let's see what we do with the rest, because, I would heavily want to go with Reece James at the back there. But it might be that we'd have to stick a 4.0 in and maybe Creswell or Dallow become James. But let's see. Let's go into the midfield then and talk about the midfielders, because actually the only one that's a lock is probably one of the cheapest players in the game, which is Andreas.
That's ridiculous.
I'm very, very happy to have him. And I don't... With those fixtures... The amount of times I got stung by not having him or benching him in my FPL team, I'm absolutely going to have him.
Did you take Almiron out or did you not have him?
I haven't had Almiron.
What's wrong with you, man? Put Almiron in.
I think that's universal. We're going for him, aren't we?
What? I mean, knock your socks off if you don't want to.
Knock your socks off. Here we go again. also been looking pretty good in this sort of weird pre-season thing that we've got, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He seems to have continued his form. So
you go with that armor on if you fancy.
No,
it.
I'm not. No, that's listen. This you know, this is
pop him in.
I didn't have him, but I've got unlimited transfers, so I probably am going to have him now. So I'm going to Amron's going to come in. So again, this team is already shaping up to be quite cheap.
Yeah,
you're being very thrifty with this team, which I like because it's shaping up for a heavy hitting Kane and Haaland front two. I can already
thrifty.
Feel it.
You should know me by now. We've been married long enough.
I can already feel it. So Amron and Andreas coming in.
I think our big debate here is going to be: do you want to put Salah in this team?
Well, what do you think?
No.
You're going without Salah. It's going to be an interesting debate next week or so, I think.
Well, because you see, so I think maybe we have this conversation here, right? Because I think you do want to invest in Liverpool. Fixtures are nice.
Yeah.
I really, 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 really wanted Luis Diaz, and then he's got himself re-injured again.
What a poke in the eye that was when he got injured. Honestly, I could not believe it. I could not believe it. I was so excited to have him back, not just from FPL, obviously, but from a Liverpool perspective. Yeah. We need him. Jota's not back for a bit.
End of
you
January,
need Luis Diaz,
Jota?
And he's just got injured again. I could not believe it when I saw that news.
I think, when I was looking, when I was reading about Jota, they were saying we might expect to get some minutes from him in 23 and 24 ahead of the Champions League.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, right, well, so that's Jota out the equation then for this first period of time, which is what I'm looking at with FPL right now. So
let's just go on a little Liverpool tangent all of a sudden. So no Jota, no Diaz coming back into the team.
So it leaves you with Salah, Firmino, Nunez, Carvalho.
Well, the thing with that is you're going to have the similar dynamic to what we saw as we got towards the break, because we're in the same position, right? You've got probably Firmino. Is it Firmino central with Nunez?
I think so. But like
you
played
Salah
against Spurs, and Nunez was excellent out there. I mean, he was playing against Emerson Royale, so everyone would have been. I would have been excellent out there.
He actually looked pretty good, Darwin. He came on against AC Milan in a friendly, I think, yesterday or the day before.
He scored, didn't he?
Well, he got two. The penalty is absolute comedy, by the way. If you've not seen the penalty that he scored, it's absolute comedy. The goalie just sort of like taps it in. But the first of his goal, I think it was the first or second. Anyway, the other goal, really good. Good finish. Looked full of confidence and looked full of pace. Looked frightening.
Yeah.
So, looked all right. Yeah, looked all right. But Mo also scored in that game. Thiago also scored in that game. So, yeah, I mean,
it's a tough one because I think for me, you're investing in Liverpool, right? So, in my opinion, there's maybe three if you want to go Robertson. But leaving him aside,
Robbo, that's a good shout as well, yeah.
There's two ways you can invest and only two ways you can invest in Liverpool. Forget Robertson for a second. It's either you go Nunez or you go Salah.
Okay.
Now, there is quite a marked difference between Nunez and Salah. Nunez is 9. Salah is 12.8, I think, still.
12.8 Salah, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big difference. And when you're looking at other players, now, with this squad that we're currently creating of cheap options,
got to spend some money somewhere
then
in this
squad. Could go Salah, right? And you could feasibly have him and you could have, rather than having Nunez up top, you can have Mitrovic, which feels nice with the double coming up in game week 19.
I feel like you're making the case against Mo, though.
Just
I'm feeling
don't...
like
okay.
So which heavy hitting midfielder are you going to have, or are you not?
I wasn't going to. So in my team, I haven't got one because I look at
not De Bruyne.
Well, so I look at Salah and Salah of the past, who I loved. I haven't seen enough of Salah this season to make 12.8 million a viable spend. At 9, I have seen enough of Nunez to make 9.
Does the captaincy
okay.
come into thinking as well? Because again, this kind of perma-captain Haaland thing going on. I mean, are we going to need Salah as much as we...
And you don't have a double game week.
True enough.
You currently don't have a double, so I'm not captaining Salah at any point, am I, is the reality. The KDB thing is more of an interesting one because I would really like KDB.
Right.
But
I would have Kevin De Bruyne. So if you're not going to have Salah in this team, you've got to allow me to have Kevin. Let's stick Kevin in. Let's stick him in. Let's see how we go. We might change that, but we're going to stick Kevin
in there. That's a lot of City for the rotation that's about to hit us.
Which means we are heavily invested in Man City. Heavily.
I think if you're putting him in there, then I think we
should.
This
is typically how our life goes as well. You go with all the cheap options and I splurge on a De Bruyne, 12.6 million.
I'd like Kulusevski in there.
Now, here is one I think we can agree on.
Yeah.
Yes, I am very much thinking about Kulusevski. Again, another one that has looked good in this weird little pre-season that we're having. Also has a point to prove, I think, coming back into the team. And the one thing you'd say early doors with Spurs was that, does he get a game because you've got Richarlison there and Son, all the rest of it. Well, unfortunately, Richarlison is out now for a number of weeks.
5 to 6.
Kulu's been fully rested over the break.
Yeah.
I think he comes in and gets a ton, like all the minutes. He's going to get all the minutes. And when he plays... He makes Spurs massive. I think he massively makes you better.
I think he didn't get minutes before, partly because he was injured. And had he been injured, I think he would have got minutes.
Yeah, true enough.
And then, you know, he came back in 15 against Liverpool, got an assist in that game immediately as he came on the pitch, got an assist.
Trying to find him. Where is he?
It'd be really low. Just search by Spurs.
It's a search by Spurs. I don't even see him on the page.
He's...
Yeah, only 41 points so far, but... You know, there's reason for
but
that.
But he hasn't
right?
really played. Yeah. And I think, you know, judging... You got back-to-back returns in 15 and 16. I really like Kulusevski as a pick. And I think if you are...
Yeah, I'll go with you on
that. If you're creating a team that doesn't have Kane, then having Kulusevski in there, particularly with the Richarlison injury, and I don't think you're going Sonny, I think he's the perfect foil for that.
Right. So we've got to this point with Almiron, De Bruyne, Kulusevski and Andreas. We haven't discussed an Arsenal midfielder. Is that because you are considering Nketiah up front?
No.
Or do you still want to have a Martinelli or an Odegaard or a Saka?
Have Martinelli.
Still Martinelli.
Yeah, I would have Martinelli.
I'm on the fence with him, I'll be honest. I probably will have him, but part of that will be because of his team selected by. His 48.2% team selected by. So that first game against West Ham, he could do well, couldn't he? And if he does play up front in that kind of false nine position, because that's what it's going to be now. He's a midfielder by trade.
Yeah.
And has played forward in the past, but feels a bit false nine-y, doesn't it, putting him there?
Yeah.
If he does play there, then you've got to expect that he's going to be in the points and amongst it with all that creativity around him. If he plays there, who plays left, do we think? I don't know the Arsenal squad well enough to know who comes in on the left. Arsenal fans, let us know in the chat. What happens if Martinelli goes in the middle? Who does he stick out left? Because that's part of the reason I think Nketiah is worth a gamble. Because I do think Eddie's going to come in. You lose so much by not having Martinelli on the left.
The one thing
he's so good there.
But the thing I will say here is that those, to me, yet again, these three forward spots are precious. What basically, you've only got two. Because Haaland's done. You can't do anything there. Which means you've got two forward slots. And arguably there are... I mean, off the top of my head, there's four that I would.
Oh, really?
In two spots.
Well, okay.
So I can't get Nketiah because that's taking away spots from players that I really want a hell of a lot more than I want Nketiah.
All right, let's park it then. We're thinking that it's probably going to be Martinelli. But let's look at the forward line. There's a Haaland, lock, forget about it. Don't even discuss it. You're having Kane, aren't you? With Kulusevski.
I am, but that doesn't mean we should hear. If we're creating a team for...
You seem to be making the case for Darwin Nunez. Without Salah,
You've put KDB in over Salah, so in which case I think you have to have Nunez. I don't think you can go with no Liverpool in this period, because Liverpool was starting to find some rhythm, and I think, you know, Darwin came home early enough with Uruguay that he's going to start. Plus, there's the injuries at Liverpool, which means
not
he's
a great
start.
Tournament for Uruguay. I don't think he was that
good.
No, but
I didn't think Uruguay were that good, to be honest. So, yeah, I think,
I'm just hoping he can pick up the form that he was starting to show leading up to game week 16, because he was looking pretty good. We've got 19 million left in the bank. We need a forward, a midfielder, and a forward. It's going to be difficult to have Harry in there, because if you're going to put Harry in there...
Well, you can't put Harry in there.
You're then 7.4 for two players. You can't do it, so...
I think you'd have to have Mitrovic.
Yeah.
The double coming up in...
Yeah, okay.
I think you'd have to go Mitrovic up
top. And then what, 12-2 left between these two?
I would want to go Martinelli in that midfielder spot. Because
can we go James and Martinelli?
I don't think you want a midfield that doesn't have any... I don't think you want no Arsenal. They're top of the league right now.
Yeah. Yeah, to go in with no Arsenal would be asking for trouble, I think. James, and then 6.4.
That's what Martinelli is, I think.
No way. Arsenal, Martinelli, 6.8. Can't do it.
How much did you own him for originally in your squad?
Oh, actually, I can do
it. Because your squad is...
I can do it because I had Martinelli in already at 6-4. So that's actually, so that's a good point, right? So if you've had Martinelli for a while, which most of you guys listening will have, he won't be 6-8. It might be still be in your team because you won't have transferred him out. So I could actually hit the button on that. I'm not going to, but that's where I could land. And actually, when I think about what we said before about having a squad, I'm pretty happy with that. I'd have Cancelo, Trippier and James as my three big uns starting. Creswell would start on the bench for 17, probably start Dalot. De Bruyne, Kulusevski, Almiron, Martinelli.
I mean, benching's hard work here, but...
Benching is difficult for the forward, yeah. So who, yeah, well, no, yeah, you're right. Full stop, it is difficult. Because again, difficult, I'd be falling into the Andreas trap again, wouldn't I?
It's difficult against the whole squad because the reality is that most weeks you've got to bench two of those defenders and one of the front eight, which is going to leave Andreas sitting on the bench a lot. But obviously not in game week 19 when they double because you want to play him. So then you'd have to look at who would you bench in 19. Maybe it's Martinelli that gets the bench in 19.
Does give you some benching headaches. I like it from a squad perspective. It does give you the 15. As you rightly said before, that's what we want going into this period of high rotation, particularly with Pep and with the fixtures that they might have, City, over the next few months. But yeah, as FPL Harry saying in the chat, who on earth are you benching? And he's you've got a point. Yeah, you've got a point. I'm going to be benching Andreas, aren't I? I'm going to be falling into that trap when Fulham have got some great fixtures.
Most weeks you're benching, you're going to bench Andreas, Creswell and Dalot is the reality with a squad like that.
Yeah.
But some weeks you're going to have to play out Andreas because he's got a double. So then you're probably moving Martinelli to the bench, I think.
Yeah, possibly.
Because you can't bench Mitrovic because he's got a double.
Are we missing a United attacker? I'm noticing in the chat Stephen Harker saying Rashford in mid. I mean, Rashford's definitely worth a conversation, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, personally, I would rather have one less City headache and have Rashford in that KDB slot or have Bruno Fernandes without Ronaldo.
Let us know in the comments, guys. How do you feel about this team? Mark it out of 10. Just stick in the comments if you're watching the replay of this video. Give it a mark out of 10. What do you think? I mean, you could do a De Bruyne and have Foden instead, and you could have, I guess, Kane rather than Mitrovic. If you wanted to go that way, that would be your heavy hitters. Do you think you can put a team together that would have three heavy hitters? Could you have a De Bruyne, Haaland and Kane? Let's try that, right? You'd probably have to not have Darwin.
Well, then you'd probably want Salah over De Bruyne.
Yeah, so let's take Darwin out. Let's just try and do this threemium draft, which is going to be, I still think, quite difficult and probably a bit unnecessary given the captaincy, or let's just say the lack of options around captaincy, because you're probably going to be Haaland most of the time. Right, I'm 2-6 down. So where are my sacrifices? Well, I've got to lose a defender, haven't I? One of these guys has got to go to a 4.0, probably. What do you think? If you were going to go for De Bruyne, Haaland and Kane, have a threemium. And De Bruyne could be Salah. You're right. You could have Salah in there instead, right? But where's the sacrifice?
I'd probably take Dalot down because Creswell's got...
To a Nico. Or just say any 4.0. Any 4.0. Still leaves you at 1.8, right?
Yeah.
You've probably got to have you've got to make a sacrifice here, haven't you? And you've got to go for Walker or somebody, right? You'd have to, wouldn't you? You have to go like a Walker. That gets you... bit more closer. So you could go threemium and have Walker rather than Cancelo. How do you feel about that?
Well, you take Mitrovic. You could take Mitro down
to a 4.2, like a non-playing forward.
No, well, to Nketiah. Solanke.
Okay, let's try that. Let's have a look at that. So Arsenal. So if you took him down to Nketiah. Nketiah's 6.5, right? He's not cheap. Not as cheap as I thought, actually. 6.5. So you would. That's not enough, right?
Not enough. Go get the forwards up. Let's have a look at the playing. Who's the cheapest playing?
When Mitrovic is 6.8, you're not having Nketiah at 6.5, are you?
I thought he was cheaper than that. Keep going down until we get to the cheapest, like Shay Adams. What's he?
Shay Adams is 6.4. So he's not mega cheap. Solanke's your 5.8, isn't he? Or Brian Mbeumo maybe. Kiefer Moore. You or Edouard for Palace. You're sort of Armstrong at 5.5. Say you gamble on Saints fixture. Say you do that.
Skamaka, how much is he?
Skamaka, 6.7. He's not cheap.
He's not cheap.
So say you went Armstrong. You sort of, all right, well, I'm gonna punt because it is a punt at 5-5 on the Southampton fixtures. And he's not exactly a regular, is he? I don't think. Minutes played. Yeah, he's not a 90-minute man by any stretch of the imagination. But you're saving money, right? You're trying to go freemium. What have we got left in a bank? 1.9. So you can go back to Cancelo if you want. Oh, you can't, no, you really. Can't. 0.5, you can't.
Does that give you enough to get De Bruyne up to Salah?
Because you can have Salah would put you in even more of a hole, right? Difficult, isn't it? The freemium is difficult. I really think it is. Because again, with this team, you're taking a punt on Armstrong where I really think you want Mitrovic in there. You said it at the top of the show. You put a draft together, and not having him is the biggest hole.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Let's have a look at where we're at at the minute, guys, because we're rapidly running out of time. Let's have a look at where our bus teams have landed. Right, so we've tried to dynamically do a team there. Let us know in the comments what you think of it. Give it a mark out of 10. Here's a team that you sent to me just as I was setting up the stream. We've got some of the decisions, some of the key talking points there. On the right-hand side, we've already discussed Salah, Nunez, the freemium, the Jesus injury impact. Interestingly, you found some space for Rashford. So you must be pretty keen on him.
Rashford, yeah. Yeah, and Ben White, Creswell is up for debate. That slot's still up for debate. But it's actually, the defence is then pretty much the defence that we created a minute ago. In midfield, it's very similar to what we had, except I do really like Rashford. I think those first three fixtures for United are really, really nice.
Not going all in on City, though. Going Cancelo and Haaland. No, so very not. Template City. There's not much...
I'm not going all in on City because I think the obvious way to go all in on City is KDB. But because I think that's the most secure way of doing it. I don't want to go back to Foden. And I don't know where I'd go with the other options. I don't want to go back to a double defence.
Mm.
So I'm going with just the two. And I kind of like the way that this midfield works. It's
very budget midfield with all your funds up top, right? That's where you're placing your bets on the strikers.
Yeah, and I'd potentially have to do a bit of a hokey-cokey with one of those forwards for game week 19 and take Mitrovic in and out, which I don't love.
Because you'd want Mitrovic for the double, is that what you're saying? Because his double.
Yeah, because yeah. I think they're not having Mitrovic for the double. Am I back in Veghorst territory? Do you know what I mean? can I really take two transfers to bring Mitrovic in and out? That feels a bit much,
doesn't it?
Bit much. I don't know.
Mm.
But I don't think it's very easy to create a team that has Salah, Haaland and Kane, as we've just proved.
No.
Whilst keeping all of these other players that I want. I mean, the thing is to take out Kulusevski and drop him down to a slightly more budget again. So that means I can take somebody else up. But
you're backing heavily Spurs to score some goals here, aren't you, with Kane and Kulusevski in there, given that you've got your main defensive ball player. Like, there's no doubt that coming out of defence, Romero makes a big difference in terms of your transition through to midfield. Probably not going to have Hugo for the first game, and it's 12:30 against Brentford.
And Bentancur's suspended.
Bentancur's suspended, yeah. There's a few gaps in that Spurs team, no doubt about it. So to go in and gamble heavily on Spurs scoring a lot of goals in that game, I'm not sure.
There is part of me that thinks maybe I will go without Kane until game week 20. I hate myself for just saying that. Because I definitely want him in for 20 if Spurs double. There's absolutely no way I'm going.
I think you would try and get him, yeah.
So, you know, there is scope that I take Kane out for Mitrovic for 17, 18 and 19, and then come game week 20, I'll put Kane back in again. But you know what? Kane's been scoring goals this season.
He's not exactly doing bad, right?
No, he's the second highest scoring player in the game, and he's been a great differential for me over the course of this season. Every time he scores, I love it, but also, too, he's actually bringing me in good FPL points. So I am really struggling with the decision to take him out. I think I'm going to have to just see when he arrives back in training and all of that kind of stuff, what's going on at Spurs. Mm. But
it's really tough. So you've largely landed where we did with our dynamic team, except Rashford in there, which I think is a perfectly good pick, right? I mean, you've got to remember that United, it's going to be a different dynamic at Old Trafford, isn't it, from game week 17
onwards. It's the first three,
Ronaldo
as well.
Not being there, I think, is going to have a very positive impact on Manchester United and Ten Hag. I think it's going to be like a cloud being lifted, a weight lifting off their shoulders. Mm. And it will free up the likes of Rashford. I think we could possibly be having the conversation about Bruno Fernandes again at some stage. We haven't talked about it. We've been on for an hour and a bit. We haven't even discussed him. And we've barely discussed United outside of Dalot. Are we a bit are we a bit blind to United? Because I think they're going to improve, right? Without him, surely.
They are going to improve. And the first three fixtures are really nice, then they get a bit tougher.
The first three are unbelievably good. So if you're going to go in on them, you go in straight away, don't you?
Which is why there's two of them in there.
I like Rashford. It's not a bad pick, though. It's not a bad pick. My team is looking similar, as expected, I suppose. Pretty similar to what we did dynamically a second ago on the webpage. I have gone for De Bruyne in there. In the same way that you were being at pains to think of a team without Harry Kane, it similarly pains me to have a team without Mo in it. But I do think that dynamic with Darwin, we saw it a little bit over the first 16 weeks, that actually Darwin is the target man. He's the guy that we are looking for to get the goals. Mm. He's had his time to bed in, all right, didn't have a great World Cup, but he come back early, which is good. He's got time back in the team at Liverpool. He's played again, all right, it's against Milan and it's a friendly, and he come on for a few, all right, I understand all of that. But for him to come on straight away and get the goal, that to me says something. It says he's kind of happy to be back. He's in a positive mood. So I do think that he is a reasonable cover. I hate that word. He's reasonable cover for Mo, given that if you don't have Mo, you can have De Bruyne.
Yeah.
That's what I like. I'm still really on the fence with that. Really on the fence with it. Because if I do have Mo Salah, which definitely could happen, then I haven't got De Bruyne. So it changes the whole dynamic of this, because I am going to have Free City. I absolutely hear you with your, they're going to be rotated, all the rest of it. But as I'm having Free City, no question. So who do you have? Well, if you have Mo in there, then maybe you don't have Foden. So definitely want Kulusevski and Almiron. So do I not have Martinelli? Do I have Foden in there instead of Martinelli? What do I do then with that other forward slot? I've got Mitrovic in there, but I'll have Haaland, I'll have Mo. So I probably can't get to... Maybe I could get to Darwin, I don't know. But do I want to double up on the Liverpool forwards? I could maybe free that slot up and have somebody else in that forward line. So there's still lots to be discussed. There's lots still to be discussed. But definitely the De Bruyne versus Salah thing is definitely weighing on my mind at the minute. What do you think of that draft?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think the thing for me is that Man City, I get the one in three of them, particularly for the double game weeks, but the double game weeks for them don't start until 20. So I've got 3 weeks to work out what Pep is doing and how many competitions are there in. Because they've got to play Liverpool in the League Cup. They've got to play Chelsea in the FA Cup. Like they're not givens. These aren't games that they're going to be able to just rest people in.
Yeah.
So I think I'm cautious. I'm just cautious with my third Man City player. Because I don't want to be tied. I think this is the thing that early on in the season I had three... I had Edison, I had Cancelo, and I had Haaland. And that meant that I was locked and I couldn't easily move anywhere. So I like the flexibility of knowing that for game week 20, I can invest in whichever player feels like the right one at that moment, rather than having to kind of make changes. I think that's the thing for me.
Both of us have kind of landed on roughly the same defence and goalkeepers. And we haven't really discussed it. It feels like Trippier, Cancelo, James, Dalot, Kepa, Ward, and then a Creswell or somebody random chucked in there. I like that.
I'm going to go Creswell.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I'm
going to end up going Creswell over Ben White, I'm sure of him.
Yeah, I don't mind it. But actually, those other ones, Dalot, James, Cancelo, I don't feel like I'm going to change that very much. I feel like my changes are going to be in the midfield and the forward line. Although I can't see me changing Mitrovic and Haaland. It's going to be in that midfield, I think. That's where the changes are going to be, if anything. So, yeah, let us know, guys. What do you think of our teams? What did you think of the Salah versus De Bruyne thing? What do you think about Darwin Nunez as well coming back into game week 17? Is he going to hit the ground running and pick up that form that he showed in game week 17? We will find out in the not-too-distant future. That's it for tonight, guys. What is coming up, Sam? What have we got coming up in the next week or so? Quite a bit, I think. You've got official fantasy podcast coming up, no doubt.
Yes, another podcast on Tuesday.
Very good.
We're recording that Tuesday afternoon, early evening. So that will be out Wednesday, I should imagine. Previewing game week 17. It's really busy. It's actually really busy at the moment. Obviously, we'll be back doing our Ohanas for the patrons.
Yes, looking forward to those.
They will start going out again. And then we confirmed all of our dates for Sky for the new year as well this week. So come January, you'll see us on Sky a lot.
We're going to be back on Sky. I'm going to be on Boxing Day on Sky. I think it is Skype rather than in the studio. Yeah, on Boxing Day. Yeah, so lead up to the deadline for game week 17. I'm on a Skype call with the studio, so I need to have my team locked in. I can't any of this last minute tinkering.
I wasn't paying any attention to the fact it's on Boxing Day.
Yeah, these last, I've got to, you know, I've got to not have too much of a hangover because I've got to look reasonably fresh faced and go
what
on.
What time is that?
Go on TV. I bet it's about half past 10, I think.
Oh,
like
I'll still be in bed.
Yeah, still nursing a hangover, no doubt.
I won't
yeah,
have
no
a
doubt.
Hangover. I don't drink. I'll be just there in bed with my FPL team going, right, what shall I do dear before Lord. The Spurs Brentford game?
Dear Lord. There we go, guys. Great to be back. Nice to see you all. Good luck tinkering for the next week or so. Lots and lots of drafts, I suspect, are going to happen between now and next weekend. Lots of all the content creators are going to be back. All your favourites are going to be back on Twitter and YouTube, etc. So get consuming that content. Get your drafts done nice and early. Don't wait for the last minute because you know what happens when you wait for the last minute on FPL. Get those drafts in. Locked in nice and early so that you don't suffer from any last minute glitches or challenges, and we'll be back. Will we be back next Sunday? Because that'll be the day after Boxing Day.
No, it won't. Next Sunday will be it's Christmas Day.
Is it Christmas Day?
So I'm not recording with you on Christmas Day.
We won't be recording Christmas Day. Yeah, no. I'll be probably drunk this time on Christmas
today.
Day.
Oh,
so we'll
just what we want.
We'll be back at some stage between Christmas and New Year's.
Nothing like that. If you're going to be drunk on Christmas Day,
that's true.
You're going to look at your team on Boxing Day and go, "What have I got?"
I'm getting FPL locked in Christmas Eve. At Christmas Eve, it's getting locked. And actually, I'm going for a beer Christmas Eve. I know with some mates at lunchtime, the day before Christmas Eve, FPL needs to be locked in because I'm planning to be.
Are you planning to actually be awake over Christmas or are you just going to be split asleep?
Well, no. On Christmas Day, I'm going to be here, present for the kids and opening my presents and having
it.
A few beers. Yeah, so FPL will not... I can't be looking at my phone on Christmas. You can't spend Christmas Day with the kids and everything. We're tinkering with your FPL team. Come on.
No, that's
Come
why
on.
I'll be locking my team in on Christmas Eve.
Got to lock it in.
Well, I'm not going to the pub to get drunk.
Right.
Well, I'll be here baking with kids.
There we go, guys. Have a great Christmas. Happy holidays if you're celebrating Christmas. I hope you enjoy some time off with the family. We'll be back at some stage looking over how game week 17 went. Until then, we'll see you all. You'll see Sam on the official podcast. You'll
yes.
see us both on an Ohana podcast if you're one of our patron supporters, patreon.com.
Better do that before you get drunk.
/FPL. They'd probably like a drunkly Ohana podcast.
Oh, no.
patreon.com/FPL family if you want a bit more Sam and Lee in your lives. Until then, guys. Welcome back. It's good to be back. Good luck in game week 17. We'll see you soon. Cheers.
Happy Christmas, guys.